You know, we've seen the safety numbers in the state kind of trending in the wrong direction, where we've topped 1,000 fatalities on the road for 2 years now, trending in that direction again this year. So that's really what sparked this. You know, Secretary Blankenhorn, you know, has made a really concerted effort to look at, you know, a whole host of ways, you know, to make our roads safer. And this is one of those things. You know, we really think at the end of the day, obviously there's some room to go still to grow in this area. But we think through proper development these systems eventually are going to, you know, make our roads a whole lot safer than they are today.
How will this testing program work?
So really, we just wanted to provide a baseline, you know, a starting point to say, okay, this is what the law says right now. This is what's going on out there. Let's start collecting some information until, you know, we can work with, you know, at the end of the day, it's going to need to be work with the legislature to get some legislation to do some more comprehensive stuff. But the testing program we set up just sets a starting point where we can gather some general information so we can communicate with local communities, local law enforcement, you know, folks where this testing may be going on in their jurisdictions who may not know now. You know, so it's really just an opportunity to provide better communication and start, you know, some of this collaboration that needs to go on. You know, this is going to take some, you know, really extraordinary work between a lot of different groups. And I think, you know, our testing program is a starting point for that.
So you talked about the importance of gathering information. Is there also a way for communities that are interested in participating in testing or having a company come in and test in their area? Is there a way for them to, like, raise their hand and say, yes, we would like someone to come in and we're open to that?
Absolutely. I mean, that's part of the process we hope to set out. You know, if you go to our website, which we've set up through IDOT, and that provides some contact information, I think we are probably going to put something in there to allow communities. But we definitely want communities to reach out. You know, this is a big part. We know, you know, there are communities who are interested in hosting testing. And we know there's communities that aren't interested. But for those that are, you know, we've obviously established some, you know, good communication channels with businesses and companies who are operating in this space, and we'd love, you know, to provide, you know, to certain communities who are interested, you know, with the opportunity to do what's best for them, you know. And I think that's the big thing here is, you know, it's going to be different for every community, you know, what their interests are. Some are going to be worried about safety. Obviously, we're all worried about safety, but I think some, you know, will look at it as an economic development, you know, arm. Some will look at it as a way to reduce congestion and things like that.
So for our listeners out there, there are various levels of autonomous driving, from as basic as cruise control up to, you know, something you might picture in your head from a futuristic Hollywood movie or something where there's no driver involvement at all. Mm-hmm. What does state law allow for at this point, and at what level would a change in state law be required if the state wanted to go beyond that?
Yeah, so it's our interpretation, you know, and it's been interpreted differently state to state, you know, and that's one of the issues we're seeing is this, what they call that patchwork of regulations. But from the way we looked at the current law, you know, the current law basically just says have a properly licensed driver behind the wheel. And so that's what our program allows currently. So to take that the step further, which eventually is going to happen, to get to a more driverless, you know, operation, which would, you know, under those levels you were talking about would be technically kind of level 4 and then level 5. You know, we do need to address some statutes. So ours allows what they call right now level 3, which is conditional automation. So in that level, you know, there needs to be a human driver as kind of the fallback, you know, if a situation arises that the vehicle cannot handle. So that's what we're set up for now is that level 3 operation.
In looking at the executive order and the announcement recently about this initiative, it talks about wanting to be a leader in this arena. So I want to ask, before now, was Illinois at risk of falling behind what other states were doing when it comes to testing? I mean, states like California, Arizona, that are a bit, you know, maybe more known for this kind of thing?
Yeah, I think so, you know, and I think that's, you know, again, Secretary Blankenhorn's, you know, been very out front on that. You know, we do want to be a leader in this. We think, you know, we hold a natural position where we should be a leader in this. You know, we hold a key place in the country, especially as it relates to our freight movement. You know, we're kind of that central hub of freight throughout North America. So we definitely saw opportunity there. But we did see, you know, the industry moving really quickly. And we think it's important. You know, I like to say we're probably in the first inning right now. but the game has started. So you can either, you know, be a fan on the sidelines or you can be in the ball game. And we felt we needed to be in the game. So things have progressed quickly. You know, it's moved out. Obviously, as you mentioned, it started kind of in the West Coast, California, Nevada, Arizona, played key parts. But now you're seeing Ohio, you know, really start to, you know, kind of ramp up their activities. Pittsburgh's obviously been a hub for some time. Obviously, Detroit is in the heart of it. So it is starting to filter more outside of the coast and into the Midwest. And we think it's important that we're a part of that, you know, process and development.
So what are some things that you and IDOT learned from those other places, other states, other cities, as you were sketching out your own version of this kind of testing program?
You know, we learned a lot. We scoured basically every program out there. We reached out and had conversations with a lot of the different state DOTs and their people who are running their programs and gathered a whole lot of information. So we definitely took a lot of lessons from those folks, some good, some bad. You know, we tried to, you know, figure out those best practices. And we did end up, you know, at the end of the day, again, providing a starting point for the state. We know more needs to be done, but our starting point did, you know, come a lot from what we saw in those other states.
Can you think of an example maybe of a good lesson or a bad lesson that you maybe took away from somewhere else that you brought into this program?
You know, I would say a good lesson that we took, as we looked at this is kind of a tech neutral approach. You know, we came out early and said we didn't want to pick or choose a winner or a loser in terms of the technology. And that, you know, kind of started from the beginning. A lot of folks had that, you know, kind of base as where they were starting from. And that's what we wanted to make sure we were providing. So we did learn some lessons there. There was some legislation introduced that, you know, would have essentially kind of boxed out some of the bigger players, some of your tech companies. And we thought it was just important to have them, you know, at the table and being able to participate, as obviously they're greatly contributing to this industry. So that was definitely a lesson we wanted to make sure we put into place is, you know, kind of a tech neutral approach. And the feds have kind of reaffirmed that recently in their latest guidance that, you know, they're kind of taking a similar approach. So we're in line with, I think, with where everybody else is approaching this at this point.
Bloomington Normal, our area, has an electric vehicle manufacturer called Rivian that wants to introduce some pretty serious autonomous driving capability into its first launch vehicles. Have you had conversations with Rivian? Have they raised their hand in any meaningful way to be kind of part of what you guys are working on here?
Yeah, you know, we've talked to Rivian. We've talked to a lot of companies, a lot of Illinois-based companies. You know, we're excited about Rivian and what their future holds, and we're, you know, aware of their ambitions to provide some autonomous, you know, features to their vehicles. They're part of the Illinois AV Association, who we've worked with as well. So we've had great conversations with them, and like I said, you know, we're looking to provide a level playing field for everybody, Rivian included.
Illinois is obviously a big state, but it's like a very diverse state in terms of driving environments. You've got Chicago, very urban. You've got places like Bloomington Normal, which got urban, but then surrounded very, very nearby with rural areas, with interstates crisscrossing through it. Where do you think this testing might take off first? Is it going to be in more kind of urban environments like up in Chicago, more in the interstates that IDOT is so closely associated with, more smaller communities like Bloomington, Decatur, Springfield? What do you kind of see there?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, our hope is we see a variety. I mean, I think that's one of Illinois' attractive points here. You know, we do have four seasons. You know, we do have some, you know, climate that some of those West Coast states do not. So we do think that makes us attractive. Like you mentioned, we do have the urban, suburban kind of rural settings. Each one of those are, you know, there are certain folks focusing on each one of those. So we hope to attract a variety of them. We do think, you know, freight, when you look at kind of what's coming more immediate and what's coming longer out, you know, some of the freight applications we are seeing, you know, more frequently. And we think those are developing pretty quickly. I definitely think we'll have some freight, you know, opportunities that we hope to see going here. But, you know, obviously the city of Chicago is going to be, a big target for a lot of companies who look to get in there. But, you know, I know the city just started a task force and they're kind of exploring that issue as well from their end. So I don't fully want to speak for the city in terms of what their plans are. But You know, we think it's going to be a variety, though. I wouldn't say any one over the other, but, you know, we've taken a keen interest in the freight side of things.
So in other states, public universities have become sort of a central part of the autonomous driving exploration. University of Michigan is a pretty notable example. Where do you see Illinois public universities getting involved in all this?
The universities, again, played an important role to get us to this point, and we foresee that, you know, filling out even further. You know, we're exploring the idea of a test track in the Rantoul area through the University of Illinois, Northwestern, and UIC. You know, and they've provided valuable input. We've explored some different, you know, things with Bradley. You know, Bradley just started a new robotics engineering program there. We've talked to Dr. Karat, who's been a, you know, big leader in that. So, you know, we know how important they are. You know, especially at this stage, you know, as a lot of research and development and things are going on. So we intend to continue those close conversations that we've had with them, and I expect them to continue to play a major role in a lot of the things we do.
What about Illinois State Police? How do they – are they directly involved with this initiative, and if so, how so?
They have. You know, so, you know, it'll be 2 years ago March, we formed kind of a informal kind of interagency working group. You know, one of the things we learned very on in this is much bigger than just DOT. This has to have a broad coalition of agencies working together. So we did bring together, under Secretary Blankenhorn's guidance, a six-agency kind of interagency working group. ISP was part of that and has been from the beginning. You know, again, they see it as a safety thing. You know, they're excited about the safety prospects. You know, those troopers out there on the roads, you know, see firsthand how dangerous the roads can be.
Well, I imagine one of the six agencies in that working group was the Illinois Department of Insurance, which has a regulatory role over companies like some of our biggest employers in Bloomington Normal,
sure.
State Farm and Country Financial. Can you talk about what role Department of Insurance is playing and what interest insurers may have in this world?
You know, obviously this is going to change the insurance industry pretty drastically at the end of the day. But everybody, you know, where we're at, everybody's still trying to figure out how, when, and what, you know, in what capacity. But they've been a part of that working group I just spoke of from the beginning as well. So they've had, you know, their input, and we hope, you know, through a lot of these new initiatives to kind of further that. You know, I know State Farm has been a, you know, a big leader in this from the insurance side, and we're lucky to have them in our backyard. So they're going to be a great resource. You know, so we have Allstate as well in the state. So two of the major insurance players who have invested a lot of money to figure this out. We look forward, you know, as we move forward, working with, you know, all of them and the Department of Insurance more.